Hello, welcome to This Week in the Atlantic Coast Conference, the podcast for allsportsdiscussion.com. This is Jeff, and you can follow me on X, or I'm still going to call it Twitter, at Talkin' ACC Sports. That's at TALKINACC Sports. You can follow my co-host and moderator, Matthew, at ASD_HokieSmash. That's ASD_HokieSmash. But he spends a lot more time these days at the All Sports DACC Twitter account, and that's the Twitter account for the AllSportsDiscussion.com sites, and that's at ALLSPORTSDACC. I'm going to turn it over to our moderator, Matthew, as we begin the podcast.
Jeff, welcome back. It's ACC Tournament Week in Washington, D.C. The DMV is hustling this week with probably perhaps the last time in the foreseeable future, at least for a long, for several years, that the ACC Tournament will be in Washington, D.C. And it needs to be up here more often, but I'm happy that it's up here this week. So before we get into the week that was, that for ACC men's basketball and preview the ACC tournament, Jeff, is there anything that you want to plug on the website that you've written about lately, Jeff? I know you've talked a lot about what Wake Forest and Pittsburgh need to do to get to the ACC tournament. You may want to upgrade our.
Yeah, that the Wake Forest and Pittsburgh, they have been like right on the bubble for the last month, kind of, you know, right there on the edge. One week they're in, another week they're out. You know, that has been quite the saga following those two programs. And we're now on part five of the updates after yesterday's results that saw Wake Forest get a nice Q1 victory over Clemson at home, and Pittsburgh defeated NC State to go on a three-game winning streak. And we're going to talk a little bit more about those teams and results later in the podcast. And also, we took a little closer look at North Carolina. You know, of course, it was already a great day for them by winning at Cameron, defeating the Duke Blue Devils, being the number one seed in the ACC tournament. But a couple of other results across the country really benefited North Carolina as they try to land that fourth number one seed. And we wrote about that on the blog as well. Arizona losing last night to USC, a team that was coming into the game with only 13 wins. And then also Tennessee taking a bit of a surprising loss to Kentucky. Not too surprising that Kentucky competed in that game, but Tennessee was on a roll. They were playing at home, senior day for them, and the score wasn't quite as close as it indicates. Kentucky really controlled that game pretty much, you know, from start to finish. They had a big, furious rally by Tennessee at the end of the game, pressing Kentucky, you know, to get it down within a single shot. But, I mean, if we're being honest, Kentucky controlled that game. And those are the two other teams North Carolina is competing with for that final spot. So on a day where North Carolina picks up a top 10 road team road win, you know, their two closest competitors for that fourth number one seed go down. So really good day for North Carolina. And we take a look at all three teams' resumes going into the conference tournaments.
Very good, Jeff. Very good. So who really, and we're going to get into the ACC tournament now in D.C., who really needs a good performance in the ACC tournament this week, Jeff?
I mean, it's almost like a kind of a take your pick, because, I mean, this is a chance for a bunch of teams to go from the bubble to the big dance. And I don't think all of them have to win the ACC tournament. So, I mean, teams that can play their way in to the field without having to win it. I mean, for sure, Wake Forest and Pitt, you know, they can't bow out in their first game, particularly Wake Forest, who's going to get a very dangerous winner of the Notre Dame-Georgia Tech game. And then they would meet Pittsburgh in the 4-5 matchup. And that almost has a feel of the winner's probably in and the loser's probably out. So, you know, you're looking at a game there where, you know, with huge, huge NCAA bubble implications. So you're looking at Pittsburgh and Wake Forest probably needing a run to the semifinals of the ACC tournament. You look a little bit further down, Virginia Tech has an opportunity, I think, to get into this bubble chase without winning the tournament. But there seems to be some debate, you know, how many wins do they actually need? And I know you think, Matthew, they need a run to the finals.
I do, because of their past history, Jeff, and how the committee has dealt with Virginia Tech. That's how I think about that. I'm a little more biased.
Yeah, and that's fair, because Virginia Tech has not been treated well by the committee. And, I mean, I think they need at least two wins. But in either case, Virginia Tech's going to need a deep run in the ACC tournament to make the field. But I don't think they have to win it. I think I feel like two wins will put them on the bubble. And if they get to the finals, if somehow they can get on a run and get to the finals, I think they have a couple of quality wins that carry some weight. They've won, I think, three games in a row here to get to 500 in the conference. And let's be honest, if we're talking about Villanova,
I'm glad you brought
at
that
17
up.
And, I'm just saying, I mean, they got 14 losses and they're in most everyone's field, which I just find mind blowing
to me.
Yeah. And, you know, they've got a win over North Carolina, you know, and they do. I think they've also won it. They've won against Marquette. But Virginia Tech, you know, has a non-conference win over Iowa State. They've beaten Clemson. They've beaten a likely NCAA team in Boise State. So when you start splitting hairs on the resumes, I don't really understand what's the big difference between Virginia Tech and Villanova. And right now you've got Villanova on the bubble and in, and you've got Virginia Tech going into the tournament needing at least two and probably three wins to get in. So that, I'm not quite understanding that one. There's a lot of weird bubble stuff going on this year that's more bizarre than I've ever seen in the past. But I mean, right now, I think those are the three teams that have the most to gain without necessarily having to win the tournament. Wake Forest, Pitt, Virginia Tech. It probably wouldn't hurt Virginia to win a game, but I think they're in pretty good shape of making a tournament.
Very good analysis, Jeff. So which ACC team is going to unexpectedly disappoint this week? Like, would you expect that have a deeper run, but they're going to be out quickly? And then let's go to the second part, and you can answer both parts here, Jeff. Who's going to do better than everybody expects this week?
I mean, when I look at who I'm really not expecting much from in DC, obviously Louisville is the one team is one team that I'm not sure can even win
a
game.
Jeff, no, hold on a second. Let's be. I expect them to drop out, right? So I think that's it. What I'm asking is kind of a different question, right? Because I expect. In fact, I expect Kenny Payne to, you know, to have his buyout, you know, right before he leaves the Verizon Center.
Yeah.
I'm thinking a little differently in here. Like, is there anybody you think can be upset?
I think if you're looking at a team that might have an unexpectedly short stay, I'm still not 100% sold on Virginia.
There you go.
I know they're gonna have a lot of home crowd there, and they played well against Georgia Tech, but I saw some statistic where they've got to have if they make more than six threes a game, they're undefeated. Six threes a game, and they're a different team when they're consistently knocking down threes in a game.
When does that team show up, though?
Yeah, exactly. When I mean, they showed up against Georgia Tech, but they've been kind of MIA the last few weeks, and they're staring at playing a Clemson team as a 6 seed. If you know, if Clemson can get, you know, if they can win a game, and if Clemson wins their opening game, they would meet Clemson in that quarterfinal game, and I think that's a really tough matchup for Virginia, especially the way they're playing overall recently. Now, if they play like they did against Georgia Tech, it could be a totally different game. But I think that could be a very difficult matchup for Virginia. I think Wake Forest, it could be in a little bit of trouble because they'll face the winner of the Notre Dame-Georgia Tech game. And we know those two teams, for the Tuesday teams, have been playing really pretty solid basketball over the last couple of weeks. And Georgia Tech went into Winston-Salem and knocked off Wake Forest just this past week. Only lost Wake Forest has taken this entire season. So, you know, Georgia Tech is going to go in there feeling very confidently. I think the winner of that game is more than capable of knocking off Wake Forest and would really put their NCAA chances in real jeopardy there. So, if you're looking at two teams that could go out earlier than expected, I think there's a chance it could be Wake Forest or Virginia.
And then on the flip side, you think that, you know, your teams that'll do better than expected. It sounds like you say Clemson could be what is Clemson could be one of those. Anybody else?
Yeah, that would kind of like fit in there. I mean, Clemson's going in there as a number, as a number 6 seed, and you know, I think that they're very capable, you know, right after Duke and North Carolina. I mean, they have the best set of wins in the ACC outside of those two. So, I mean, if they get hot at the right time, Gerard's knocking them down from three, Chase Hunter's running the offense. And, of course, if PJ Hall, his big thing is if he stays out of foul trouble, I mean, I could definitely see Clemson – you know, winning that opening round game, beating Virginia, then they would likely get Duke in the semifinals, and North Carolina most likely in the finals. Well, they beat North Carolina, and they came within a last-second bucket of beating Duke on the road. So I think Clemson is a very dangerous team to keep an eye on. And then also, you know, we already talked about them. I think the winner of that Notre Dame-Georgia Tech game is very capable of winning a couple more games. It wouldn't shock me at all to see the winner of that game beat Wake Forest, and then they would play Pittsburgh, who I don't think it's out of the question that either one of them could knock off too. So if you're looking for like a Tuesday team that could make a deep run, I could certainly see it from one of those two teams.
Great analysis, Jeff. You don't know how much I wanted Virginia Tech to be the 7 seed, Jeff, because I felt that those conditions would have been really good for Virginia Tech to make it to the final game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, here in the city, there would have been a lot of it. You know how you've been to those ACC tournaments before, Jeff.
Yeah.
Once you see like a team make a run, the crowd gets behind it. That's a lower than expected seed. And that would have happened here in D.C. for Virginia Tech. And I still think it could happen here. I mean, in terms of having the crowd behind them, right? Because I actually think Virginia Tech's going to beat Florida State up here. I'm pretty certain that's going to happen.
Yeah, I think so, too.
But Virginia Tech does not have a good matchup with North Carolina, you know? It's a bad matchup, unfortunately.
You know, North Carolina had a little – you know, they had a couple weeks there where they looked like they were a little bit off their game. And they seem to have righted the ship. Yeah. I mean, they just absolutely walloped Notre Dame, who had been playing really well in Chapel Hill. And then they go on to Cameron and knock off Duke in a game that they pretty much led 8 to 10 points for the majority of that game. And North Carolina seems to be hitting their stride again. I mean, I think it's a bit unfortunate. You know, not impossible for Virginia Tech to win that game, but that's a little bit of bad luck
It's tough seed. It's a tough seeding. It's a tough seeding to get. If NC, you know, if Kevin Keats could just get win a road game once in a while, it would have happened. I mean, I'm talking from my homer standpoint here for a minute, being a smart ass, but he just can't seem to get that done. He just can't seem to get that done. So thanks, Keats.
Yeah, I mean, I think any of the other 2, 3, or 4 opponents would have been, you know, it would have still been a difficult matchup, you know, if you're playing Duke or Pitt or even Virginia, but those are more manageable because North Carolina hits a ceiling that no other ACC team can hit.
They're a Final Four team. I truly think that.
Yeah, I think that North Carolina is very capable of reaching the Final Four, provided they're not on the other side of the bracket from UConn. I think UConn is too similar to North Carolina and better at them. But if you put North Carolina in any of the other brackets, and especially if they're a number one seed, I feel like they definitely can get to the Final Four.
Definitely. So reviewing the bubble guide, if you're an ACC bubble school, and there's a few here, right? You just mentioned them here earlier with Pittsburgh, Wake Forest, and to perhaps a lesser degree, Virginia Tech. And you know, in the event that Virginia Tech goes on a run, it could happen. Like, they could be knocking 70% from three against North Carolina. It's happened before. What do we need to see happen in the other Power Five conferences? There, you know, who can't win conference tournaments, that sort of thing. I know we had one outcome today, of course, with Drake won their conference tournament against Indiana State, and so I think that's kind of an iffy situation there. But a lot of folks are saying that they're not going to get to that. Indiana State isn't going to get in now, which I mean. Honestly, if we're being completely honest, Jeff, I would take Indiana State before I would take Villanova. I'll be very frank with you about that. I'm not biased about that at all. I think both of those teams in the Missouri Valley are deserving to get in, but I think only one of them will get in. So let's go back here and tell me what needs to happen.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things to keep an eye on. I mean, you got bid stealers potentially across the country, but I mean, some of the teams that are also on the bubble that if they go on to deep tournament runs could cause some problems for ACC bubble teams. Colorado out of the Pac-12, they started to make a move. I mean, the Pac-12 had been sitting on two bids for weeks, and now they're starting to get into the picture. TCU, most people had them solidly in for quite a while, and they have really fallen back onto the bubble. But if you're an ACC bubble team, you don't want to see TCU go on a run. Mississippi State, Texas A&M, both of those in the SEC are right there on the fringes of the bubble. It would not be good to see one or either of those go on a run in their conference tournament. And actually, okay, I wasn't quite sure if they were playing each other. Texas A&M is a 7 seed and Mississippi State is a 9 seed. I think both of those teams, one win's not going to get them in, or it shouldn't. But if they win a couple games, they suddenly could cause a problem. New Mexico, out of the Mountain West Conference, has really fallen. I mean, they were solidly in the tournament a couple weeks ago, and now they've lost 6 of their last 10, had a just absolutely atrocious loss to a really bad Air Force team at home who was like 250. I think now they're like 270 in the net, and only has two Q1 wins. When I last looked, 5 total Q1 and Q2 wins. And you don't need to see them go on a run. An Iowa out of the Big Ten, good result for bubble teams in the ACC tonight. They couldn't beat Illinois, which would have moved them up. Those are just, what did I have? Those are like 6 of the teams that would benefit ACC bubble teams, not to see them go on runs and pick up a number of quality victories in their conference tournament.
Well done. Well done. So, Jeff, let's go through the ACC tournament brackets and pick your winners and losers in the brackets and pick. You're going to go all the way, Jeff. You're going to go all the way to pick the ACC tournament final winner and the automatic bid.
All right. So I got to pull up the bracket here. So we'll start with the Tuesday games. You got Georgia Tech and Notre Dame in that game. I think that's – you wait in the next year or two. That's not going to be a 12-13 game. That's going to be a 4-5 type game in the next year or two, because those two programs, they're rising. And they've caused a lot of problems in the ACC over the last – 3 or 4 weeks, even though they're near the bottom of the standings. So that's a preview of a quarterfinal game, but the next couple of years. I'm not sure if it'll be next year or the year after, but it's coming. But that game, I think I like Georgia Tech in that game for the reason is that Miles Kelly was held scoreless against Virginia, and I don't think there's almost any way that he would have another, you know, scoreless type game. After that Virginia, you know, he's one of their leading, I think he might be their leading scorer, and I would expect him to have a big bounce back game against Notre Dame. But that wouldn't shock me if Notre Dame wins, but I think Georgia Tech's going to be able to win that one. Then you got NC State and Louisville. Louisville is just a complete disaster. I mean, they're not even competitive at this point, at least earlier in the season. They showed some signs of life, and NC State's, you know, not exactly coming in on firing all cylinders, but they can beat Louisville. Boston College and Miami, I don't like the way Miami's been playing for a month. They look like a team that just can't wait to get the season over. So I like Boston College in that one. Then you go to the Wednesday games, Virginia Tech and Florida State. I like Virginia Tech in that game. I don't think Florida State has enough offense over the long haul. They just don't shoot the ball very well. Florida State does, and they're a 9 seed, but I mean they're playing, you know, a lot closer to the 14, you know, to Miami than they are in that 8-9 game. So I wouldn't even be surprised if Virginia Tech may win that game by double digits. Wake Forest, we got them playing Georgia Tech. Wouldn't shock me to see Georgia Tech win that game, but I don't have the guts to call it. And Wake Forest has to win that game if they want to really have a chance at making the NCAAs as an at-large bid. So I think Wake Forest is gonna come out of there. Then you've got Syracuse and NC State. Not really feeling an upset here either. I think Syracuse has played pretty well over the last month of the season as well. I see Syracuse coming out of there. Then you got Clemson, Boston College. I like Clemson in that game on Wednesday night. You get to the quarterfinals, North Carolina, Virginia Tech. Kind of already talked about it. It's just going to take an incredible effort for Virginia Tech to pull that upset. But they're going to have they're going to have the crowd behind them. But it just seems like too tall of a task there. So I'm going to go North Carolina. Pitt and Wake Forest. Yeah, man, that's a really even matchup there. I feel like I got to, you know, I think this is Pitt's game. I do. You know, with Henson, they really made a surge at the end of the year, and I think Capel has them ready to advance in that game. Duke and Syracuse, I think Duke's got a little bit too much for Syracuse. Duke's going to advance. Virginia, Clemson. I got to call at least one upset in this tournament. And I know Virginia will probably have a good number of fans there. But I think Clemson's going to advance out of that one. Then you've got in the semifinals, North Carolina and Pitt. Still see North Carolina advancing there. Duke and Clemson. That'll be a very competitive game, I think, between the two. But other than Duke's matchups with North Carolina. They've played really well over the last 2 months of the season. I know they lost to Pitt at home, but they also had some injuries in that game. I see Duke advancing there. And then you got North Carolina and Duke in the finals meeting for the third time. I think North Carolina is going to beat Duke. Again, it's going to really take a spectacular effort, I think, by Duke to knock off North Carolina and the role they're on. I think North Carolina wins the ACC tournament and gets that fourth number one seed.
You nailed it. You nailed it. So, Dan, will Wake have done enough to get into the NCAA tournament?
I don't think Wake Forest and Pitt can make the tournament. It's just really hard to see. You know, I mean, they did it last year when Clemson and North Carolina State were on the bubble, and Clemson won against NC State and did not make the field. But most projections have Pitt and Wake Forest virtually in a tie. Whew.
Probably not, huh?
I'm gonna say Wake doesn't make it, and Pitt finds its way into like the last four.
So that means that Wake is probably then a number one seed in the NIT. Is that probably a fair statement?
I think that would be likely, and I Syracuse would probably make the NIT, and Virginia Tech.
Yes, those three would be in the NIT, and Syracuse might even find itself in Virginia Tech is two seeds in the NIT. I think 19 wins might get you to a two seed. What do you think?
Yeah, I could see Virginia Tech and Syracuse being two, no worse than three seeds in the NIT.
You know, so that means if you're a one, like Wake Forest would be, they get to host three games at home before they go to New York.
Right.
And Virginia Tech would probably get two, but they'd have to probably go on the road, and they'd probably be in the same region as Wake Forest is what I'm thinking. Right?
That's
what I'm thinking, because they try to keep people geographically close to each other, and I think there's maybe 180 miles separating Blacksburg from Winston-Salem. You know, Winston-Salem, Wake Forest, that area. Pretty cool, though. That's how I think that would turn out, I think, at least if we're looking at those sorts of brackets. So, Jeff, I'm going to use my open microphone time to ask you a question, because I know you're well-versed on this issue. There's been a lot of reporting on it lately, and I think we both knew that it was coming to this, because I've talked about it several times myself, that it looked like it was coming to this, but they're basically from what I gather, and you've read a lot more about this than me, the SEC and the Big Ten are basically trying to create like a champions league, just like I thought, like kind of like what they have in Europe with, you know, the major level soccer in Europe. That's my understanding, where significant revenue, of course, would go to teams in the Super League. You know, they have a champions league in Europe, right? You know, and it's, they kind of basically want to set up the same sort of construct here in the United States. And it's going to be one of those situations where you have, you know, people in that Champions League, for lack of a better term, giving a hard time to those folks that aren't part of that league. And you're sitting in a situation where you have these haves and have nots. And I think it ruins college sports, and it makes me very disillusioned. But that's my short take on it. Did I capture that accurately? And do you have anything additional that you would like to add to my rant about a Super League that we probably both knew was coming, because I have tweeted about it in the past? Over.
Yeah, I mean, I think the frustrating part is this, the Super League that they're trying to do is, I mean, at least the Champions League, the way I understand it, is still based on results. And I mean, the SEC and Big Ten are kind of creating their own league in a vacuum, just because, you know, they want to say it. I mean, and one of the things that I read or the proposals is they're basing it on, you know, the past 10 years of, you know, playoff results, and how the SEC had, with the additions of Texas and Oklahoma, you know, had the most playoff appearances. Then the Big Ten with Washington and Oregon coming, and then the ACC, and then the Big 12. And, you know, they picked the last 10 years and it all seems very, you know, arbitrary how they're doing this. You know, but there is one, maybe if there is a bit of good news, there is one bit that I think is not so bad, as the original proposals by the SEC and Big Ten got a tremendous amount of pushback. So, you know, they were getting a lot of bad press for the stuff they were attempting. But still, I think it looks like in the end, they're going to get most of the money. Maybe we'll see if they get most of the bids. And, you know, if it really does come out where I think the one set of numbers I saw that the SEC would get $23 million per team, the Big Ten $21 million, the ACC nearly $14 million, and the Big 12 $12 million. If it really turns out that way, then I would look at it on another failure from Jim Phillips, and that would be a massive rant for me, because even if you base it on historical results, the number of ACC playoff teams in the last 10 years was 7, and the Big 12 is at 2, which should considerably put the ACC ahead of the Big 12 as it's currently constructed. Right now, Clemson, Florida State are still in the ACC, and, you know, will be until we hear something different. Yeah, it probably will happen at some point eventually, but when they are negotiating this, to me, that says that the ACC should be on a tier higher than the Big 12, not considered equal. And, you know, if that happens, you wait for that rant, because I'll be all over Jim Phillips if he agrees to something that puts the ACC, as it currently is constructed, on equal footing with the Big 12, because that means that, you know, he would have been outmaneuvered by, you know, Brett Warmack, who's lost all these brand teams over the last few years and then picked up, you know, middle of the pack, big Pac-12 teams, and still got the same deal. That's a failure on Jim Phillips. But we'll see if it turns out that way. But it seems to be leaning that way. But yeah, that would not be a good look for Phillips if they end up with the exact same deal. If you want to argue that historically that ends up in the Big Ten and SEC with more bids, you know, we'll see how that goes. But based on pure numbers, the ACC should be considerably either making more money or having more bids than the Big 12. If they're doing it, if that's where they're going to look in the last 10 years, I don't see how you don't get to that point. And so if it ends up the same, it's failure on Jim Phillips.
Oh, yes, I agree with you, Jeff. So I kind of guided that open microphone segment to a certain conversation. Is there anything that you want to add for your open mic segment?
No, I mean, I'm just looking forward to the conference tournaments this week. You know, where it is decided on the court who can make the tournament. Everyone actually has a fair chance, a semblance of a chance. That no one can argue they didn't have a chance. And, you know, like I said last week on the podcast, that's, for me, that's why college basketball is probably now moved ahead in my eyes as a more fun sport to watch, to me, than college football.
See, now you know why I've liked college hockey all these years, Jeff, right? Teams like North Dakota can go in there and bust up Michigan.
I mean, I can definitely understand.
You know?
Yep.
I mean, it's going to be, I should preview about that too here, I should say. Jamal is going to be with us next week from Jamal Murphy, he's the Blackatologist, and he's been on that's his site. He's called the Black Bracketologist, but his Twitter account is Bracketologist. He's going to preview the NCAA tournament with us next week. So right after the brackets all come out, he's going to preview the tournament with us next week. Then the following week, Will Ogenen comes on this podcast, and he's going to preview the Frozen Four with us. Yeah, the men's NCAA Division I ice hockey finals. That's the 24th. That would be the 24th. We're off the 31st. I will be in Montreal for my birthday. And then the following week is when ACC football previews begin, Jeff. Actually, April 7th. And it's we kind of have a tradition where the first one of the year is the day before the Final Four. Or the day before the national title, I should say. Which is actually pretty cool. You know, and so that's what's coming up here on the All Sports Discussion ACC podcast. And I, like you, Jeff, enjoy the conference tournaments. I mean, the Summit Conference tournament is this week. That's one that I watched from back home in the Dakotas. And, you know, there's a good chance that, you know, you could see at least one of the Dakotas in the NCAA tournament, South Dakota State or North Dakota. I just saw that North Dakota State lost to St. Thomas of Minnesota. But there's a good chance that you could see a pretty disciplined team come out of the Summit that might put a scare into a two seed for a half or so in the NCAA's tournament. I'm not saying that there's no Oral Roberts from the Summit this year that could not put the fear of God into a two seed Iowa State that is a seed that likes to lose. I mean, I joke when I say that because Iowa State's taken those baths before and lost as a two seed, but. I do love it, like you said, when you get the games decided on the court. Many of the conference tournaments are just incredibly exciting because you know that for a lot of these schools, that's their only shot to get in. They get less at large bids than some of the power five major type conferences. So, Jeff, it was awesome talking about ACC basketball with you this week. And again, we're going to have fun previewing the NCAA tournament with Jamal Murphy next week. It'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it. And it seems like there's maybe I have a few favorites in my mind. I think I posted them on Twitter today, you know, that maybe a few links better than others, but it still feels like it could be wide. It still feels at times it could be wide open, but I probably would take UConn, Houston, North Carolina, and the Vols over the rest of the field right now if I were considering the Final Four, Jeff. It's kind of where I'm sitting. Tell me I'm wrong.
No, I mean, I think that's fair. I don't think – you've said it on Twitter, and I agree. I don't think Purdue has been really pushed in the Big Ten at all.
No.
I do think this Purdue team has a chance to make a deeper run than some of their teams.
The first round. Yeah, me too. They could make it past they could make it past the first weekend, but I always think if they're going to go as far as the big guy takes them, and if the big guy has a bad night, they're screwed. Right? That's how I see it. You know, and so, I mean, I want them to play Houston. I want Houston to just absolutely crush their soul. But anyway, who knows?
Yeah, that's the one good thing. I mean, I will for Purdue is they've managed, and they deserve a number one seed, is they've probably managed, you know, to avoid the Houstons and the UConns at least until the Final Fours. But I mean, I could definitely see. Put a Kentucky as a three seed in Purdue's bracket, and I think probably 70% of the people are going to take Kentucky in a game against Purdue.
Me too, man. All right, Jeff, have a great week, friend.
Okay, have a good one, Matthew. Bye.